We're having the Lord's Supper this morning. Let me just say, the Lord's Supper, you are open to take the Lord's Supper if you are a believer, born again, and you're a child of God. It is open to you this morning when we partake of the Lord's Supper. So I want us to zero in on the cross. Last year, about middle of the summer, I noticed that my eyes were messing up. Because I was driving along, I told Jenny, I said, man, these signs are blurry at a distance. I said, like, speed, because she asked me, you see that speed limit sign? I said, well, it's a little blurry. Yeah, she said, well, it's 60 or 55. I said, oh, I thought it was 90. I said, you have to excuse me. My eyesight's getting a little bad. But it was really getting blurry. I was concerned about how bad it was. And it was so bad that you drive up behind a truck that had some a business truck or a company truck and had writing on it, it was blurry too. So I began to think, well, maybe I need to go get my eyes checked. And so we did, and the guy said, you've got cataracts. I said, well, I didn't know they were that. He said, they're bad. He said, you will not get your driver's license if you try. I said, well, that's what my wife said. So anyway, this past spring, I got cataract surgery. And that took care of it. Well, I asked you a question this morning. How is your spiritual eyesight? How is your spiritual eyesight? About 14 years ago, we did a series on the cross, and we entitled the series Being Cross-Eyed. And the question was, are you cross-eyed? And the point was, are you focused on the cross? Are you spiritually focused on the cross? And we said there are what we, you know, Paul talked about the enemies of the cross, but they were people. And I got thinking, you know, when my eyes were bad, things were blurry. And I couldn't see the signs clear. It was blurry. And you know, sometimes we don't have a good view or a good focus on the cross of Christ. It's kind of like it's blurry. And there are things that can blur our spiritual vision when it comes to the cross of Christ. And we went through two or three things that can cause that spiritual blurriness. And we don't see the cross as clear as we should. It's not as vivid. And when I say the cross, I'm talking about the message of the cross. The cross has a tremendous message for anyone that will take time to look at it. It has a tremendous cross for the Christian, a tremendous message for the Christian. But there are things that can blur it. We talked about legalism. That's a thing that can blur the cross. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about those who think they have to work for their salvation. When you think that, the cross becomes blurry. And even Christians, now I'm talking about Christians that have come to the Lord in faith and they have trusted Christ, and yet it's almost like I've got to keep doing something. I've got to perform in order for Him to love me more. No, you don't. The cross has taken care of that. Now, I'm not saying you don't have a desire to serve the Lord, but it's, what is your motive? Do I do it because I think it's going to add to my salvation? Do I do it because it's going to give me a greater standing before God? It's not. The cross took care of that. We are complete in Christ. And when we view the cross and we have that thinking, we have a blurry spiritual vision when we look at the cross. How about guilt? You know, when we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us. And we are convicted of the sin. What do? We confess the sin. And I tell people, you don't have to ask forgiveness. You've already been forgiven. The cross forgave you. But we do confess it. We confess that sin. As 1 John tells us, we went through 1 John. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, he just said, what? Confess it. But how many Christians confess their sin and they still live under condemnation? Guilt. We are looking at the cross where that was taken care of, and we are seeing it blurry. We're not getting a clear focus of the cross. Feelings can be an enemy. Well, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm saved. And feelings can enter in, and feelings fluctuate every day almost. No. We have a clear view of the cross. We will not operate by feelings. We will operate by the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sin, shed His blood on that cross. And so we can have a blurry spiritual vision if we're not careful. And what we want to do is we want to maintain a clear vision, focus on the cross and its message to us. And so, again, these things can draw us away from having that. But as we look at the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us to make sure, are you cross-eyed? Are you focused on the cross and the message of the cross? Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 14. You're very familiar with this verse, but I want us to just sort of unpack it a little bit. Galatians 6 and verse 14. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The word he uses there in the Greek is talking about he boasts. So you could say, God forbid that I should boast, except for one thing I boast in, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pride myself in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now think about when Paul was speaking here. This was during the days of the Romans. And in Paul's day, the last thing someone would think about or think of boasting of is a cross. In that day, why would you boast in a cross? Because remember, the cross was a cursed thing. It was the most humiliating death that a person could face. It was so humiliating. And remember, this came about by the Romans. It was a place of shame, humiliation. But Paul is not talking about any cross. He's not talking about any cross. He is talking about the cross on which Jesus Christ died. Not just any cross. And to make his boast of the cross of Jesus Christ means that he makes his boast in everything that that cross stood for. Everything that took place on that cross. When it comes to the cross, we are either offended by it or we glory in it. We are either offended by it or we glory in it. And how you see the cross will determine how you live, and it will determine your destiny. It will determine how you live and your destiny. You know, some look at the cross today with a primitive, they see it as like a primitive religion. And they think that this is where a cruel and merciless God sadistically had his son killed. And that's, a lot of people look at it that way. What one man called it, cosmic child abuse, if God did that. That he would put his son through that agony to be mocked and had to go to the cross and suffer that type of punishment. What God would do that? And so to them, it's offensive. To them, that's some ritual or some religious, primitive religion. And that's not for today. It challenges man's wisdom and pride. The modern man thinks of how ridiculous to look to one who died on the cross in weakness and humility. We spoke a little bit about that on Wednesday night when we were looking at John 14:6, when Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There, we read this morning in 1 Corinthians, as Don read it, is a stumbling block to the Jews. It was a stumbling block to the Jews because a crucified Messiah didn't make sense. A crucified Messiah was a contradiction. How can he be our Messiah and he dies the death of humiliation, weakness? Didn't make sense. So it was a stumbling block to the Jews. Man thinks he can be saved by his own way, his own ideas. When Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Modern man says, you believe that and you are intolerant. You're narrow-minded. You're unloving. Because man thinks that he can do it his own way, his own ideas, his own philosophy, his own intelligence, his own good works. The cross destroys the idol of man's pride. It takes that away. So the cross is an offense. But to Paul, it's not just something he preached. It is something he gloried in. He boasted in the cross of Christ. God forbid, he said, that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, why did Paul glory so much in the cross? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Because we want to see just what the cross meant to Paul. Now, you know, we see crosses every day. We see people wearing crosses around the neck. We see emblems of crosses on cars. We go into a Christian bookstore and we see all types of jewelry and paraphernalia that's got all types of the cross on it. And we see it everywhere we go. But Paul is telling us the cross is more than that. It's not just an emblem. It's not just an emblem that wears. So what is this message? So let's look at it again. God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but new creation. In other words, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, has nothing to do with that. It's all about being a new creation. And he says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So what is the first thing? Well, when we looked over at 1 Corinthians, and we read that this morning, Paul said in verse 18 that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So the first thing that Paul saw, and the reason he gloried in the cross, it is the message of salvation. It is the message of salvation. Now remember in Galatians who Paul is opposing. Remember who he is attacking. And he starts out from the first chapter. He jumps right on them. Well, what was happening? He's writing to these Christians in Galatia who were given in to false teaching. They had placed their faith in Christ for their salvation. They had trusted his death had paid for their sin. But they were failing to understand that that's all they needed. Because false teachers were coming in and they were saying that's not enough. It's not about, you trust Christ and you look at the cross and you see that your sins are paid for. And you see that you're cleansed by the blood of Christ. But you do not stand complete yet. And so these false teachers were coming in and they were teaching that these new Christian converts in Galatia also needed to become outwardly Jewish. They needed to become outwardly Jewish in order to truly be saved. That was the big argument in Acts 15 at the Jerusalem Council. And so they come in and they begin to spread this teaching. And these were falling for it in Galatia. And this group was emphasizing they had to conform outwardly to Jewish laws and Jewish ceremonies, especially that of circumcision. And so they emphasized that as proof of their righteousness before God. And Paul's point, as he ends this letter and all through this letter, is that the cross is where salvation comes from. And that salvation is complete. We don't add to that. It does not ask us, when we come to the cross, to save ourselves. It doesn't ask us to do something to save ourselves. We come to the cross and it has already been done for us. Our salvation has been taken care of there at the cross. We don't add anything to that. And so it's the place of salvation. It's the place where our salvation has completely been dealt with. And so Paul sees it as the place, a message of salvation. The second thing he sees is the message of separation. Notice what he says in verse 14. God forbid that I should boast or glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So it's a message of separation. When we come to Christ, the world should lose its attraction. When we come to Christ, those things that we once are innocent things. It could be innocent things. Those things that we looked at and we were attracted by, all of a sudden, they fade into the background. My stand in Christ comes to the forefront. The message of the cross, we become separated from the world. We sing that hymn that you very well know, the world behind me and the cross before me. When we are a new creation, we turn 180 degrees. Paul told the ones at Thessalonica, he said, you turn to God from idols. 180 degree turn. And all those things that we looked at that attracted my attention, they fade away. He said it's a place of separation, a message. Another hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And when we do, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Paul said, that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. Those things I gloried in, those things that I thought were important, those things that I thought meant much, they don't anymore. They're fading away. They've lost their attraction. Those things that we were so attached to. And then, like I said, it could be an innocent thing. We're not talking about sinful things. We're talking about just innocent things. He is saying, listen, those things do not hold my affection like they did. They just don't hold my affection anymore like they did. I'm not involved in them as much as I used to be. The cross is a place of death. We die to the world. We die to the world. In Galatians 2:20, that real familiar verse, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I die to Christ. That's what he said. I am dead in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not me. Not me. Who lives? Christ liveth in me. You know, we again, that hymn we sing, I saw Jesus in you. And we ask ourselves, you know, I ask myself, well, I think we all would ask, do people see Jesus in me? Or do they see me? Do we decrease? And he increases, John the Baptist said. And so Paul said, I died that day. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives through me. Because he's the one that loved me. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that gave himself for me. That is my life. That is my life. And so Paul is saying, listen, when we talk about Christianity, it's not just a door that we enter into. It's a path that we follow. It's a path that we follow. Because we've been put on a new path. And we follow that path. That brings us to another reason. He said, first of all, it's the message of salvation. It's the message of our separation. But it's also the message of a new creation. Because notice what he said. Verse 15. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, being a Jew, nor uncircumcision, being a Gentile. Here's what counts, being a new creation, being a new creature. The cross is where we obtain new life. The cross is where we obtain new life. Circumcision doesn't matter. What matters is a new creation. Today, we place on denominations. Only Baptists are going to heaven. Only Presbyterians going to heaven. I think it's going to be food. No, I can tell you who's going to heaven. It's the one that's a new creation. It's the one that's been born again. It's the one that has received Christ. And he has given them new life. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. Nothing about that. It's all about new creation. It's all about being a new creation. And so the important matter is whether or not you are a new creation. And so Paul says the cross is about being a new creation. And when God does that, just like creation in Genesis, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. A life that has been changed by the grace of God. As the heart has been dealt with through the Holy Spirit. And the power of God's grace works in that person's life. And it changes them 180 degrees. Might have been the most wicked person you ever known. All of a sudden, their life changes, totally changes. People say, well, I'd have never thought that. I'd have never thought he'd be found in church. But that's the miracle of salvation. That's the message of salvation. What Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation now. Not a makeover. Not a modification. Not a renewal. A new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. That's where that affection, that attraction, I don't love those things like I used to. They don't attract me like they used to. I have a different purpose. I have a different master in my life. I have a different mission in my life. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 5 and how when Christ came into his life, how it changed him. Gave him a new master, a new mission, new purposes for living. And that takes the miracle of God's grace working in man to change the heart. Now notice how he ends this. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The word marks is stigmata. I bear in my body the stigmata. The stigmata is a word for a brand. Like you brand cattle. You mark cattle. He says, and in my body, I bear the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is he talking about? He is talking about those things. Paul was scarred up. Paul was scarred up from what he went through in his union with Christ and what he suffered for the message of the gospel. He was beaten with lashes. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. All of those things that's what he's talking about here. These are the marks that, I don't know what Paul would have looked like. But I'm telling you, he would have been a scarred up rascal, I have a feeling, if I'd have seen him in person. There's no telling what we'd have thought if we did not know it was Paul and we hadn't seen him walking down the street one day. Ain't no telling. But he's saying, I'm scarred up. I am carrying the brands of who I am. That's what he's saying. I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would he say that? Why did he close it with this? Because he was making a point to those that he was writing to that he did not want to be marked by ceremonial laws of Judaism. He was saying, I'm not marked by the ceremonial laws that the false teachers were proclaiming. I am marked. I have these marks, these stigmata, because I'm a new creation. Not because of some ceremonial laws that these false teachers are saying you had to bear outwardly. He said, this is what I have outwardly. And it's because I'm a new creation in Christ. And I bear the stigmata. I bear these marks. And so, when we come to the Lord's table this morning, may we see the message of the cross. May you take it personally. If you're a child of God here, don't be objective, be subjective. Come to the Lord's table as you, what Christ has done for you at the cross. He has taken you and he has saved your soul. He has taken you and he's taken your affections and your loves and your attractions and he has placed them in a different place. And when you come this morning, realize that he has made you a new creation. A new creation. We sang the song this morning, "When I Survey." That means to look intently. It's not a glance. It is to look at it closely. I got a guy that I was going to have come this week, and I wanted him to, I just asked him about, he's a surveyor, and I said, "I want you to survey my boundary." Well, I should ask him how much he's going to charge. They ain't cheap. But he hadn't come yet. I might have to close the door on, because as I was talking around, I heard they're not cheap, so I might have to run my own string. But he said, you're talking about search and flag. I said, "That's what I'm looking at." Well, that's the idea. That's what Paul is talking about, or the hymn is talking about. He says, when I survey, I look at it from all angles. I intently look at that cross. When I survey the wondrous cross in which the Prince of glory died. That's what I want us to do this morning. Are you cross-eyed? Are you focused on the cross, the message of the cross, as we come to the Lord's table? Are we cross-eyed? Do you see that Prince of glory dying for you? You. Take an examination of where you were at without him. What has he done on the cross for you? What has he done? Has he changed you? See from his head. See from his hands. See from his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled together, mingled down. He was a man of sorrows, but he was a man of compassion. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? In one person, yes, in our Lord. Or thorns composed so rich a crown. Crown of thorns, mocking who he was, mocking his honor, mocking his royalty, mocking his majesty. And it ends like this. Love so amazing, so divine, that it demands my soul, my life, my all. And that's what Paul was talking about, the stigmata. It demands everything. May we approach again the Lord's Supper this morning with that focus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to have the deacons to come. We'll have the Lord's Supper. Father, can we just get, we don't want a glimpse of the cross, Lord. We want to focus on it. Lord, this is the moment that we want to focus on what you've done at the cross and the message of the cross to us individually. As we are your children, united together in Christ. Lord, from that cross is the message of salvation. It's the message of separation. Lord, it has a message for us. Lord, it's a message of love and forgiveness and pardon and reconciliation. Lord, no wonder Paul gloried, boasted in the cross of his Lord and Savior. Lord, may we do that this morning as we come to your table, as we partake of the Lord's Supper. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.